This morning I want to talk about our faithfulness to the word of the Lord. Faithfulness is an attribute of God's nature. It's part of his heart that conveys to us the unconditional love he has for us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24 it says, "Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass." God is not only faithful to give us the words, but there's that assurance he gives when he speaks by his voice that what he's committed to us, he'll bring it to pass. What this does for us is it gives us a sense of well-being if we can receive it. My daughter, Nika, had this saying. I don't know where she got it. It says, I remember this, "In the end, everything will be all right. If it's not all right, it's not the end." That's kind of the faithfulness that God has for us. If it's not all right, God is saying, it's not over. And so it brings us again a peace and assurance to our hearts. In Romans 3:3, I'll just read that real quick. The word says, "If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God." Mm-hmm. Unbelief, the big enemy. Human beings, we're so prone to it. God wants to bring us out of unbelief into faith, but even in unbelief, even the pockets of fear that we have are not greater than God's faithfulness to love us and to do what he's spoken he will do. Faithfulness is a divine attribute, and then when God looks at us, we look back and say, okay, we want to be faithful to him, right? But unfortunately, we look at this divine quality coming from the heart of God, and we want to give it back, and somehow we think that we have got to engineer it in our flesh. That's something that we come up with. We're going to be faithful. We're going to be loyal. It works out about as well as it worked out for Peter when he told Jesus, "Don't worry, I won't deny you. I'm with you 110%. We know how that turned out, right? God is not looking for a quality of faithfulness that we create from our own personality. And that's a good quality to have in your being, in your character, to be a loyal, faithful person. Galatians 5 says, "Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit." It's in the Spirit he's put in us, the Holy Spirit, that faithfulness comes back to him that he's looking for. So it's important to realize this, because if we're striving to be faithful, we're missing it. If we can receive God's faithfulness as it is, an expression of his love to us, and we can be led by the Holy Spirit, our heart and life, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, will express a faithfulness to God in holding and believing and keeping his word and what he's committed to us. All right, now we talk about, and this is one thing in Matthew 23, if I can just read this real quick, the chapter where he exposes the Pharisees. The one verse, Matthew 23:23, he talks about how they're doing these different things. And then he says, "But you've neglected the weightier measures of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." The religious spirit is all about words and commitment and everything else. But if we're under that religious dominion, that religious spirit, it's really never about the heart value of being faithful to God's heart and to his word. It somehow is neglected. People that are religious can be faithful to attend their church, to programs, to honor. The list goes on and on. But being faithful to hold what God is speaking by his voice isn't part of a religious spirit. It's a part of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus exposed the Pharisees and said, "You do all these things according to the law, and you think you're so good because of it. You have that self-righteousness. But the things that are really important to God, you've neglected." And when we allow the Holy Spirit to bring out that quality of faithfulness, understand that God's heart is being met. That's what he is looking for. What does it mean to be faithful to his word? Well, we have to understand, what is his word to start with? We're not simply talking about doctrines and teachings and just memorizing and holding on to Bible scriptures. What did the word mean to the early church? Do you think they walked around with Bibles and just sharing doctrines? Well, they had writings. They had the Old Testament prophets. They had fresh with many of them with what Jesus had been speaking. But it wasn't the same thing. The word to them was God's voice was active. By the Holy Spirit, they were hearing what we have here in our Bible. It's all based in the Bible, but they were hearing it live. When they were talking about the cross and the resurrection, they weren't trying to refer people back to just an event that took place. It was a living reality because they were hearing it by the voice of the Lord. So we can kind of bog down with just doctrine and teachings. To the early church, being faithful to the word of God was a daily faithfulness to what was coming by the voice of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. You know, what they were hearing, it wasn't the doctrine of the improved you, which is so much of what we can hear today. They were hearing the new you. Jesus died and paid a price, not so you could have a better life, but so that you could have a new life, the life of God. So when we talk about faithfulness to his word, we're talking about a level of understanding. What is the word of God? Beyond the teaching, beyond the doctrine, it's a faithfulness to words of spirit and life that he is speaking into the earth. Galatians chapter 1. Can you turn with me real quick there? Paul is concerned for the Galatians because of other gospels that are coming in. And listen what he says. Galatians 1, 6 through 10. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Now, when they were listening to other gospels, who were they deserting? A teaching? A theology? They were deserting the Lord himself. Which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Now you read this throughout the gospel, throughout the letter, in the epistle to the Galatians. Paul is upset. He's addressing a group of people who have heard the true gospel of Christ and now are being pulled away by other gospels. I wonder how Paul would respond if we could have him here today on a Sunday morning, sit him down in front of the television and have him just kind of channel surf all the religious programs on the air. I wonder what kind of epistle he would write about that. What was he so angry about? You see, they weren't being faithful to the true gospel. They weren't being faithful to the purpose that was in Jesus Christ's heart and what he did. Now, there's many things being spoken today. Many, many words, and they're all Bible-based, of how you can make yourself rich, how you can improve your life, make your life better. But is all that the gospel of the kingdom? Are the alternate gospels make us feel better, make us feel good? You say, well, it comes from the Bible. It's good stuff. It may be. But you're not called to be faithful to man's agenda or people's ideas. You're not called to be faithful to that which is going to make your ego feel better. The feel-good messages. Yeah. Do I enjoy them? Sure, I love hearing good things. I enjoy hearing hopeful messages. But the spirit in me is called to be faithful to what is coming by his voice, the gospel of the kingdom. And when he's speaking, there is hope, there is love, but there is also conviction, there is repentance. It shakes our life, it changes our life. So if we're going to talk about being faithful to the gospel, to the word of God, it's faithfulness to the word that comes from his mouth, not the gospels that religious people create for their own gain. Second thing is, we've got to be faithful to the supernatural power that's to work with the word of God. What did Jesus say? We're going to speak his word, and what follows? More words. No, signs and wonders follow to confirm the word of God. Now, being faithful to the word means you are faithful to believe in the supernatural power of God filling his word. Now, maybe we don't see a lot of healings and miracles. Being faithful doesn't mean I say, well, I've got to see it or I'm not faithful to God. No, being faithful means, Lord, I believe in that realm. I believe for the signs and wonders to come forth as you have spoken. Amen. So if we're faithful to God's word, we're not simply saying we're faithful to a certain teaching or theology. All we got to do is get this out. We're also saying we're faithful, Lord, that these words will be filled with your spirit. Like Paul said, I didn't come to you with man's wisdom, enticing words, trying to, manipulate you into believing something. I came to you how? In demonstration, the power of the Spirit. And, I've thought about this. You think, well, I've been bringing words now for 40 plus years. I don't know, a long time. But if I thought that I'd have to stand before you, any group of people, without the Holy Spirit anointing the words, I would never want to bring another word. I don't love preaching that much, to be honest with you. I look back. This made me think about it. The real joy has been that the supernatural realm of God's Spirit has been involved. I don't care how eloquent someone is, how knowledgeable. We can have profound, deep ideas. It's only the Holy Spirit that can take the word and make it fruitful in your life. So faithful to the word is faithful to believe for the divine anointing of God to be a part of that word. Third and last thing is, if we're faithful to the word, then we're faithful to the word working in us. Right? Because what's the purpose of the word as it goes in our life? It's to create the character of God in our lives. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Where'd I go here? Now there's many people that say, well, I'm very faithful to preach and speak and witness and read my Bible, speak my Bible, and that's all wonderful and good. But how many can say I'm faithful to the word becoming that two-edged sword talks about in Hebrews 4, piercing in my being, dividing my soul from my spirit? The great surgeon is the living word of God. You see, when we are faithful to his voice, it's not just a belief system it creates for us. It becomes a sword in our life that changes us. And what's the result of that? God's character can be worked in our lives. That's a result of being faithful to his word. Now, this is Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to read verse 16 through 19. Now, Paul is ministering, and it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And at that very moment, and it came out at that very moment, but when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. Now, this is very interesting. Here is a woman that's saying the right thing. Hey, these guys are from God. Listen to them. And finally, Paul turns and says, I cast that evil spirit out of you. She had the right words, but it wasn't the character of God in her that was behind the words. Too many people today are not discerning the Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit can give us that discernment. If you think about the realm of politics, if someone stands up and wants to be leader and says, I'm a Christian, all of a sudden the whole church goes, oh, that's all we need. Does it mean that that person has the character of God or they're going to be led by the word of God? No. It just means that their belief system is Christian. That's great. I applaud that. It doesn't make them a great leader if their Holy Spirit's not going to lead through them. So here we have a case where someone, this woman was saying the right things, but it was an evil spirit, a demon spirit in her. Paul was able to discern it. We're in an hour where our faithfulness to the word has got to be on a level where the character of God is created within his people. A lot of people preaching and speaking a lot of things. But what is the source of those words and ideas? It's got to be God. It's got to come from the heart of the Father. And we're going to be able to discern that. Now, you don't have to turn here. You can read it later. We're going to close in Luke 19. The parable of the talents. You remember that? How different talents were given out. And the two that used the talents, they grew. And the Lord said he blessed them with what? Well, let me just turn there. My paraphrasing is not doing it justice. The ones that used the talents in Luke 19 from verse 11 on, you can read about this. He was pleased because the investment grew. In verse 17, he says, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, be in authority over 10 cities. Wonderful thing that took place. Let's look at this just a minute, because this is what happens with faithfulness. When we're faithful to God in a spiritual way. Now, this is different from being faithful out of duty. A lot of people will do things out of duty because I've got to be faithful, otherwise I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to be punished, whatever the case may be. And that's very much different than being faithful from a heart level by the Holy Spirit to what God is speaking. With these that had talents given, they were faithful, and what happened with those talents? Let's say he gave one five. He didn't come back and say, oh, good, you didn't lose any of the five. They increased. Things of spirit, when we're faithful to things of spirit, they grow. It's not simply a sense of duty that we didn't lose what God gave us. And a lot of people live their lives like that. Man, I'm going to make it to heaven. I didn't lose my salvation. I didn't lose that. Things that God put in our life. That's fear-based. Love-based is when God puts things in us, those things grow. They keep growing. When God puts faith in you, when you're faithful to that seed of faith, what happens? That seed of faith grows. And one example I want to bring out is this area of faith, because I think it's really important. I've seen in the past so many people try to parrot or imitate someone else and what someone else believes. You have a leader that's saying, we should be believing for this. And everybody says, oh, it must be the right thing to do. Okay, I'll pray the prayer that he's praying. You know what? I don't think that's right. You need to pray the prayer that's coming from the faith in your heart. And if you do that, that faith will grow. And, you know, maybe today you'll look at someone that's praying for something and say, well, you know it's in the Bible. I believe it. But I just don't have faith for it yet. These are the things we don't like to admit, but isn't it true? And instead of pretending or feeling pressured to conform, and that's that religious atmosphere. If the leader's saying do it this way and it's in the Bible, I should be doing it. I feel guilty. I'm just going to pretend. Pretending is not being in the Spirit. We're not called to be actors here. You're responsible for the faith that God's put in your heart. You take that talent and use it. Tomorrow, you'll have greater faith. And maybe the very thing today you look and say, well, that person's praying for something that I know is true, but I just don't have faith for it. If you're faithful today to what you do have, maybe tomorrow you will have faith for that. And it won't be something you're pretending. It'll come from your own heart. We don't do people service in the church in a leadership role by trying to put pressure on saying this is what you should believe. That pressure to conform, it's a very controlling thing. And what it does is it disrupts people's awareness of the Lord in their own life. And you continue in that atmosphere, and after a while, you don't know who you are. You don't know what is in your heart. All you know is what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to act. Conforming to someone else's expectations, trying to imitate someone, act like them, talk like them, this is not evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's evidence of fear and religion. When the Holy Spirit's in charge and you're being faithful to the Word of God, you're aware of what He's put in your heart, and you constantly move in it. You constantly exercise it. And what happens? That reality continues to grow in you. The other thing that was brought out was what happened to the one that was faithful. Not only did they had their investment grow, but God said, good, I'm going to put you in charge of the city here. Right? Put you in authority. Those are two different things, aren't they? It's like someone in a company being a good accountant and God saying, okay, now I'll put you over the department of accountants. Because someone's a good accountant doesn't necessarily mean they can run a whole company. That aspect and the financial responsibility is important. But running a company has many other factors. You've got to be a people person. Well, yeah, in our business world, the ideal business world, those in charge would be concerned about the people that work for them. But unfortunately, that's often not the case. But what something happens here where God is saying, you're faithful in doing this one thing, and I'm bringing you into a whole new realm where I'm giving you authority. When you have authority over a city, you have authority over people's lives. Now, the transition I want us to see is when you're faithful, not out of duty, but out of love, serving God and what He's given you, it grows and creates in you the shepherd's heart where you can truly be put over people and you can serve people in the way God wants. That's what he was talking about, the transition. You've been faithful in a little. Here's a city to rule over. It's not putting you in a power trip. It's saying because of that faithfulness, you have it in your heart where you can truly shepherd my people. We're in an hour where there is such a deep need for that. Now, you have seminaries and produce pastors. Yeah. Train them what the word says. Train them how to be with people, how to create programs, church, all this stuff. But you can't put someone in a seminary and create a shepherd. That's a work of the Spirit. And we've got all these things happening in the earth today and so many people experiencing so much of the Spirit of God. What do they need? Do they need religious restraints? Do they need organization? No, we need to see shepherds free to move, to guide and encourage people in the ways of the Lord. They're going to be created from the quality of faithfulness in holding and serving the word that he's given this generation. When you're faithful in a little, that little grows, but it also creates a capacity in you for his authority. Oh, good, I'm going to have power and authority. No, when it's a true faithfulness of heart, his authority is just a way that you can serve the people of God with love. It opens a way that you can be effective in imparting Christ and bringing God's will to people's lives. I think we may be surprised in the days ahead of those that are shepherds in our midst. We have a kind of certain way of looking at it. Well, find the person with the biggest gift, greatest gift, make him a shepherd maybe, or someone that likes to get up in front of people and speak and preach and teach. I don't know that those things are all that relevant. I think the shepherd's heart is something that God creates. It's a capacity to love God's people and to serve God's people the way that he does it. Like when Jesus knelt down and washed the disciples' feet, he said, here's how God's authority works. See what I'm doing here? You do this. That's the shepherd's heart. We're going to be a people faithful to his word. In each generation, that is always the challenge. Faithful not just to preach and teach a bunch of stuff, but faithful to what his voice is bringing in this hour. And in that spirit of faithfulness, that word is going to bear the fruit that God wants in the earth. Amen.